welcome to this We the People special. At a time when it seems that we are going to be witnessing a spate of executions. That's right, the mercy debate has got more focus perhaps than ever before, because finally it seems that on the one hand there is a president who seems decisive and certainly favorably inclined towards rejecting mercy petitions, at least on a comparative basis with his predecessors, and on the other hand we also have a recent Supreme Court verdict in the Devinder Singh Bhullar case, which is arguing that delay cannot be cited as a reason for mercy in terrorism related cases as well. On We the People today, we're asking whether the fate of mercy petitions now depends on the ideology of a president, whether it now depends on the ideology of a political party instead of on the word of law. In other words, is the determination of whether someone should get mercy or not still arbitrary in India? I'd like to start with both Abhishek Singhvi and Naresh Gujral, one from the senior leader from the Congress party, the other representing the Akali Dal in Punjab. Let me start with you, Naresh, if I may, because your party's core group passed a resolution calling a court verdict unfortunate. You're asking for what is being described as post-judicial statesmanship. You're planning to meet the Prime Minister and say reverse the verdict in Devinder Singh Bhullar's case, a case where a man is actually convicted for a terror attack outside the Youth Congress office, one in which 9 people were killed. Why is the Akali Dal playing politics with the Supreme Court verdict?
I don't think Akali Dal is playing any politics. Let's examine the genesis of the issue. The problem started. Here is a young man who was an engineer and he decides to become a murderer. Why did he do so? In 1984, after the murder of Mrs. Gandhi, 7,000 innocent Sikhs were murdered in Delhi and in other cities. This happened 29 years ago. At that stage, there was a widespread belief that Youth Congress goons were leading these attacks.
Does that make a terror attack on them?
No, I'm not justifying.
Does one wrong justify the other?
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there has been this feeling of hurt in a large section of the Sikh community that for 29 years, despite the fact that so many congressmen, eminent congressmen were involved, were seen leading these attacks, nobody has been punished. Now, that is where it all started. As I said earlier, I don't justify in any way an attempt to murder somebody or a murder. He must be punished. But if you look at it, he has been languishing in jail for 18 years.
But that way, every terrorist has a genesis somewhere. Every terrorist is shaped or formed by circumstances.
Well, it depends what.
So if you're going to make that argument every time, no one should ever be hung.
I think we will have to fear. For Abu Salim,
yes.
Government of India gave an undertaking that he will not be hanged. 257 people were killed in Bombay blast. I am just only giving the facts here.
That's the extradition treaty with Portugal. Yes.
Even the, no, that when you extradited him also. And apart from that, European Union President wrote also for Devinder Singh Bhullar.
Yeah.
Saying that, and there is a discussion between the Minister of External Affairs and Home Minister.
Okay, so hold that thought, sir, because yes, you're making a different parallel. Okay. You're saying that there's the Bombay blast case where somebody...
No, I am just only giving the comparison what Mr. Gujral said here in this one.
Okay, also. But Abhishek Singhvi, let me get you in there. The Congress has said that we will not interfere with the Supreme Court verdict. Whatever the court has decided in its wisdom, so be it. However, in the past, if you look at Tamil Nadu, for example, you have had Sonia Gandhi herself arguing that it was humane, for example, to commute Nalini's death sentence to life. Now, the argument then will be made, as it is being made by Naresh Gujral, that there are cases where humaneness becomes more of an imperative than the word of law.
I think we need to keep the perspective focused, Barkha, and let me make a few points very quickly. I have a nuanced response to this. I don't have a black and white. First, I don't think, unlike the Akali Dal, I don't say that the Congress has any view on it. This is not a political issue on which the Congress has conferred.
On Bhullar or on capital punishment?
On Bhullar. I'm talking about Bhullar.
Yeah.
This is a judgment of the Supreme Court, and I speak more in my capacity as a man of the law rather than as a spokesperson for a political party. Secondly, my nuanced approach is that you are discussing a very narrow and a somewhat technical issue. You are A, not discussing the guilt or lack of it of Mr. Bhullar. That is definitively over. you don't like it, I don't like it, somebody doesn't like it. That
there, was dissenting, there was a dissenting judgment,
maybe,
even on that
majority judgment.
Shah.
A majority judgment is a definitive pronouncement on guilt.
Yeah.
Second, you are even not considering the rightness or wrongness of the precedent's rejection or acceptance of mercy. That chapter is also over. So the pyramid gets narrower as you go up. What you are considering is a third issue, where the level of scrutiny is very minimal, namely where the guilt is final by the Supreme Court order, secondly where the mercy has been rejected by the precedent. The Supreme Court in a judgment holds now that delay is not a factor here. Now let's be very clear, let's not live in a fool's paradise where facts and discretion and subjectivity doesn't play a role. It does. That's a fact of life.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as an objective standard. It has to be contextual. Contextually here, on the narrowest top level of the pyramid, the Supreme Court for a third level has decided that there is not sufficient ground for commutation on delay. I think matter should be allowed to rest there, because there is an element of finality. There is a public policy and a public interest and national interest on finality. And you cannot say that Bhullar has got a perverse crack of the whip on those three levels. He has, for all I care, had you got a judgment of Supreme Court the other way around, I would have supported that as well.
So you're saying,
so I'm saying you don't
that
have to
the court
second guess
the
Supreme
vote.
Court at this level.
Just
and lastly, one
yeah,
more thing,
yeah.
With my very good friend Mr. Naresh Gujral, the second part I have no problem with, that's his view and his entitlement. First part is the opening of a dangerous can of worms, a very dangerous can of worms. Today if we start going back to what they call original cause, the whole debate globally on terrorism is non-negotiable, yeah, non-discussable, per se. It doesn't matter whether you are black or white, Muslim or Hindu, any religion. Terrorism is non-negotiable. The reason for terrorism is not discussable.
Okay, let me get Naresh quick rebuttal and then Justice Karjut. Naresh, that was my question to you as well. You contextualized Bhullar in the backdrop of what Punjab was like in those years. You have spoken about 1984. You have spoken about the sense of anger around that, the anti-Sikh riots. But Abhishek Singhvi is making the argument that every terrorist is shaped and formed by a set of grievances, imagined or real, right? And quite often real. That cannot begin to justify bombings and killings and murder and basically killing innocent people.
I had said earlier, I don't justify what he did. He should be punished. But he has been punished. For 18 long years, he's been behind bars. He's today lost his sanity even.
Yeah.
Now, here is a man who's mentally unbalanced and has been behind bars for 18 years, and now you want to send him to the gallows? Well, one has to look at it, I think, with a little more humanity.
Justice Karjit, though, the point being made about that somewhere there has to be a final word, and usually it should be the Supreme Court's word that is the final word. You've sat on the bench, you have awarded death sentences yourself, you have said that death sentences should be given for what is tragically known in our country as honor killings, so there's nothing honorable about them. You have said that policemen involved in fake encounters should get death sentences. As a judge, you have said all this. Now you are writing a letter asking for pardon, or rather not pardon, but mercy for Devinder Singh Bhullar, who's a convicted terrorist.
Firstly, let me tell you, Mr. Abhishek Singhvi is not correct. Supreme Court judgment is not the last word. After the judgment, pardon proceedings can begin, and there is no bar to a second pardon petition, which I have made. And Mr. Abhishek Singhvi, I mean, inform him, in Keher Singh's case, which is a constitution bench judgment of five judges, Justice Pathak gave the judgment that the president can disagree with the finding and conclusion of the court. On the evidence, the president can scrutinize. Yeah. Mr. Abhishek Singhvi is not correct. Please let him read the judgment again of Keher Singh.
But he's talking more about the healthy, whether it's healthy to keep reopening the last word
if
of a court judgment.
If you permit me to answer, I will answer.
Go ahead.
If you don't permit me to
go
answer,
ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go
please
ahead.
Be patient. See, why I sent the appeal for pardon for Bhullar. I don't send appeals lightly. I considered the judgment. Now, see, it was not a unanimous judgment in 2002, which upheld the death sentence. The presiding judge, the senior most judge, Justice M.B. Shah, acquitted Bhullar.
Yeah.
I read his judgment very carefully. Now, see, three things he has said in his judgment. Firstly, the only evidence against Bhullar is the alleged confession, that too to the investigating officer.
Which he retracted.
To the investigator.
Yeah.
And I need not say how confessions are obtained in this country. Secondly, there is no corroborative evidence. Ordinarily, in a confession, there should be some corroboration.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what can I say about this so-called confession? Thirdly, what he said is that there was the charge of conspiracy. Now the law is well settled that supposing there is a charge of conspiracy against four persons and three persons are acquitted, then the fourth cannot be convicted because a person cannot conspire with himself.
Yeah.
On these three grounds, Justice M.B. Shah said he is entitled to acquit. Now, 1 minute, I am just about to complete. Now, the president can say, I agree with the minority view on the evidence, because as I said in Kehar Singh's case, which is a 5-judge constitution bench judgment, the Supreme Court says that president can scrutinize the evidence and disagree. So he can agree with the minority view and disagree with the majority view, and plus this long 20 years and in death row and is a mental case. Taken all this in combination, I pleaded for commutation of sentence.
Okay, Abhishek Singh, Abhishek Singh, quickly, and then Mr. Singh.
I would defend to death the right of Justice Kadju and indeed Nadesh Gujralji to seek further commutation. But just as I will defend the right to seek it, I am not disagreeing with his view.
Yeah.
He equally has to realize that it is not his conclusive view that he must be exonerated. That's one. Two, what he's talking about is a second mercy petition. Please don't forget, Mr. Bhullar has had a mercy petition rejected. Now, there is, of course, no end to it. Each time you have a mercy petition rejected, just 5 minutes before you go to the gallows, you can have a third mercy petition.
Yeah.
And somebody said, I will consider it. But where does this crack of the whip end? And lastly, yes, of course, there is a dissent. You cannot rely ultimately, as he knows better than anybody else, a judgment of the Supreme Court is the last word on guilt. It doesn't.
It doesn't prevent the rarest of rare judgment in this country actually had a dissenting view otherwise.
But the president haven't taken a view otherwise, and the Supreme Court having taken a second view.
No.
The question is, should there be a third view?
I will say here, Justice Kadju is absolutely right, because confession before a police officer investigator under Section 25 of the Evidence Act is not admissible at all in law. Second point, which he has emphasized here, and Supreme Court itself has said here, that judgments are judge-centric, whatever punishment is awarded. This is also here on this one. So,
but is that a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, the point
well,
is...
Well, I think they are human beings. I mean, they have recognized that they are also capable.
But when you give the Abu Salim example, what were you trying to say?
No, I am trying to say here, there you give a commitment. 267 That's people were killed. 1,700 were injured. And many more, I think we don't even know how many are missing on this one also. For him, we are not willing to hang
but
him.
But the point That's is...
See the magnitude of the Bombay blast as this thing.
So once again, what you're saying...
I'm not justifying anything. Let me tell you...
Are you saying Bhullar should get mercy? You should have the same yardstick. You cannot have the different ones here on this one.
I think Justice Kadju has every right.
But that's not the point. The point is not whether he has a right or not, that even Abhishek Singhvi is not questioning. The question is, what is determining the argument around mercy petitions in this country? Is it judge-centric? Is it president-centric? Is it politics-centric?
I will say it should be rarely accepted. Between 2005 to 2011, there are 125,000 murders a year. And only some 26 people have been hanged so far. Even Supreme Court, Delhi High Court has also said here that we are more lenient to the criminals than to the persons who have lost their kith and kin or the rights of victims. We don't consider their right. Some 10-20 people are sentenced to death.
Okay, let me get Anand Grover here. 2-3 points have been said.
Can I just ask a question though?
And this is, I mean, I'm not a lawyer. Many of you are, so you can correct me. But even in the Bachchan Singh case, which laid down the parameters of rarest of rare, there was a dissenting judge. Now, can we pick up a dissenting judge and make a technical argument about why somebody should get mercy? Or do we need to accept that in this country, essentially, even when a president takes a decision to hang someone or grant pardon, it's by definition political. It is done on the recommendation of the Home Ministry. How can we ever disassociate politics from it?
I agree with you. You cannot. And unfortunately, most political parties, the mainstream political parties, raise these issues when their constituency are...
Absolutely.
Why didn't they not raise this issue, Mr. From the Akali Dal, when Abdul Guru was hanged, and that is a more serious issue when the person was not informed. It's very convenient for them, but there is a legal issue. I agree with Abhishek.
Yeah.
It's a narrow issue. There are three things decided by this judgment. What is the issue in the judgment? If delay after the mercy application is a valid ground. The court said by itself it's not a valid ground.
The court also said that part of the delay is because of the petitions. No.
If you read the judgment carefully, the answer on that is, this is very interesting. And that's another issue which will have to be decided sometime. It's not the delay by Bhullar himself. The delay is representations made by the other people.
Yeah.
Now, if I am in custody, I don't do anything. Other people on my behalf or on their own make representations.
But Anand, doesn't this all underline?
No. The delay is not on my account. So 6 years delay, May 2005 to May 2011, it's not on my account. But who's responsible for that? There's a question mark. The second thing is, again, mental illness. He's admittedly mentally ill. The court says by on its own, it is not a ground. These are very important considerations.
It's completely wrong.
No, please read the judgment. I've read it. I'll show you the page.
Paragraph 44, 42.
Your reading of the judgment is completely wrong. Let me finish. Now, I think there's a larger question. And the larger question is, and I want to impress upon the audience, that whether death penalty itself is not open to question. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
We are one of the very few countries which is actually meeting our death penalty, and they're going to increase. There's going to be a spate, and we are a constitutional democracy. No doubt, the constitution allows it. But large number of countries are going away from it. Our parliament, without looking into the value of death penalty, willy-nilly, they're imposing death penalty by statutes.
Yeah.
Take, for example, narcotics.
Yeah.
It doesn't result in immediate death, but death penalty was introduced as a mandatory punishment, which we actually
So, what's your point?
My point is, now we have to think about whether death penalty itself
should exist at all. Aman Lekhi, here's the point. The problem is that every time there's an execution, it actually gets deconstructed in terms of politics. To that extent, Anand Grover is absolutely right that Afzal Guru's case is deconstructed in terms of Jammu and Kashmir politics. You have Bhullar's case being deconstructed in terms of Punjab politics. You have the three men convicted in the Rajiv Gandhi case, a unanimous assembly resolution in the Tamil Nadu assembly saying, please, they were on the fringes of the conspiracy. Let them live.
You see, you're missing the point. In fact, that point has not been addressed here. This issues of pardon. Pardon is part of penal policy of the state. Now, when you deal with policy goes beyond and has a wider sweep than the case at hand.
Yeah.
And the reason of that particular policy is basically security, because there has to be deterrence. That is, in fact, the purpose of the policy. That's the reason why it's called a prerogative power at a different level. Even the Supreme Court says that power is a different level.
But there is no statistical survey that shows that death penalty has created deterrence.
Just bear with me for a minute.
Yeah.
Just there. So, circumstances which have a bearing on the country as a whole, its geopolitical position, the condition of the society, the person concerned, the consequences of that particular pardon have a very real bearing on whether pardon should actually be effected at all or not.
Yeah.
So this is not strictly speaking only a legal issue, because the legality of it is only one fraction of the factors which have to be taken into account in question of policy, and therefore you can't possibly say condemn it because of politics. The problem is not politics,
the problem is
abusing that political power. Because we have some kind of derision for politics, because politics is abused. The politics by itself is value neutral. It is the worth you give to politics is how you work.
So
much of what has been spoken over there, and I feel is completely wrong. First, insofar as the dissenting part is concerned, there was a review petition, the review was dismissed. There was a curative petition, the curative petition was dismissed. So the question of dissent goes back. One. Two. And the question of pardon, the question of guilt is completely irrelevant. The question here is whether pardon should be effective or not, and the president has
So guilt is not the point.
The guilt is not the point. That's the question of guilt is closed. Third, this is admittedly insane. Now, this is not so, and the judgment does not say so. He's not admittedly insane. In fact, what the court concludes is that you cannot possibly say on the basis of material on record that he's in fact insane. So the question of admission by insanity is concerned is not an issue at all.
So,
and fourth,
as
far as the death penalty is concerned, death penalty is the exception, not the rule in this particular country. Mainly because you've got death penalty in the statute book doesn't necessarily mean that death penalty will be imposed. And in so far as the review of that penalty is concerned, there will be...
But aren't we seeing many more executions than
Yes, what is wrong? If executions
what is wrong?
Are warranted,
I will give only one figure. In response to RTI,
yes,
between 2005 to 2009, there are 1.27 lakh murders. Only 44,601 were convicted, that is 36.2, and some only 110 have been sentenced to death here.
Yeah,
and
only 110. You don't think that's many people.
But execution has been only for about from 1992 onwards. Only about
make that decide, Devinder Singh.
As it is, there's no fear of law in High Court. Bombay High Court has said.
Got your point. So you're pro capital punishment, Mr. Devinder Singh. Clearly.
Well, I'm giving the facts. I'm not.
Okay, make that decide. The Devinder Singh Bhullar's petition, and before I come back to both Naresh and Abhishek on this, actually lay with the president from 2005 to 2011. And this covered a period of President Kalam's tenure and then President Pratibha Patil, who eventually rejected it in this particular case. Pranab Mukherjee has clearly has an ideological slant that is different from Pratibha Patil and President Kalam. The worry, I think, for most people is, should politics be a factor or not? And when I say politics, Jammu and Kashmir argued it could reopen old wounds. The Akalis are arguing it could reopen old wounds. Isn't that more important than executing somebody? In terms of the stakes for a country.
Every province wants its own people not to be hanged.
Very true.
Regardless of what they have done.
Yeah.
Tamil Nadu, you definitely want the Sri Lankan Tamils to be hanged.
Yeah.
So all Tamils cannot be hanged.
Yeah.
Now, you cannot have justice in an arbitrary system like that. There is a judiciary, there is a Supreme Court. We have to trust that the Supreme Court is competent to judge in the rarest of rare cases what is the punishment needed. Once the Supreme Court has given punishment, I think the mercy petition thing should be strictly limited, and the president should have no more than 6 months to decide all mercy petitions and only one decision. After that, there is no appeal.
So you're objecting to the arbitrariness of how we decide mercy petitions?
There is capital punishment, but if there is a capital punishment, we ought to take it seriously, we ought to implement it, and this brings law in disrepute.
Yeah.
Because what is being said is, regardless of who I murdered, regardless of what the court says, I will get my MLA, my MP, my chief minister to have hangama. And if the government is weak, it needs coalition partners, they will say, aha, jane do. Now, what kind of justice is this?
So
how would people have confidence in the law?
It's interesting, you're saying you're philosophically anti-capital punishment, but you do not believe that these are the ways to decide whether someone should get mercy or not. Let me get Abhishek and Naresh on this, and then Justice Karju. Abhishek Singhvi, you did not answer my first question about Sonia Gandhi's mercy in a way shown for Nalini, also a convict in the Rajiv Gandhi assassination case.
Who is she to decide?
Abhishek Singhvi.
Yes, all the three things.
She didn't decide.
All the three things. Sonia Gandhi's issue, the issue of Portugal and Abu Salem, and the detention versus abolition argument, very quickly. The two examples of Sonia Gandhi and Portugal are misleading and wrong. I would apply the same principle as Devinder Bhullar to the assassins of Rajiv Gandhi. I'm saying it very clearly on your channel. Principle. I'm not talking about the facts of the case.
So you don't agree with the Tamil Nadu Assembly resolution?
No. The Congress officially, at the national level, disagreed.
Yeah.
The Congress in Tamil Nadu agreed.
Yeah.
That happens frequently.
Yeah.
What happens at the state level assembly will not necessarily. That's right, and he's right.
Yeah.
But on the Sonia Gandhi point, there is one element we're all missing out. Where the direct victim of a murder, the family of the victim, makes an appeal for clemency, it is a factor to be taken into account, only, not conclusive, by the pardoning or deciding authority. And Sonia Gandhi is the part of the victim there, and she made it in that capacity. Now, if for example, and I'm only giving a hypothetical example, Mr. Bipta, I'm only speaking hypothetically, was to make that plea, I would defend Mr. Gujral and Mr. Karju as a factor to be taken into account.
Okay.
That's known as principal decision.
Okay.
Secondly, Portugal is a completely wrong example, because there a commitment was warranted and necessitated, given to the Supreme Court of that country, without which we could not have extradited. And the government of India stuck to that commitment, but here they found that they cannot tell Portugal that we will ensure that our judges will not give that award, but we are otherwise bound. And it's no point, it's like saying that either we give death penalty to Abu Salem or not get him back at all. So that's, and the third very quick example, on retention and abolition, you see, this debate is unending. You can argue till the cows come home whether there should be death penalty or not. We've had this debate earlier. Personally, I think India has struck the right balance, but he can have a different view, he can have a different view. The balance we've struck is not absolute abolition, not retention in a simplicity manner. It is that rarest of rare test.
Okay.
And the rarest of rare test means that you retain the residual power to impose the extreme punishment where you think it is warranted. Now, that thought that it is warranted in her case and not in that case will be subjective. If he sentenced, will the government pardon Abu Salem? He's completely wrong.
He's saying that the extradition treaty, the different argument, because the choice
is
What about Afzal Guru?
Why was he hanged without giving notice to the family?
This is a submission that because the person is affected, therefore the person's voice has to be heard. This is not a constitution in any way relevant. If the person who is seeking clemency has to be heard, the person who seeks death will have to be heard too. Now, Bita wants death. Now, if what Bitta says is a relevant circumstance for purpose of deciding whether, in fact, death penalty should be done or not, the fact that he wants death should be taken into account.
So, it's a contradictory
argument. That is
making
it wholly arbitrary.
Okay. Justice Karju, let's take this to you and then to Naresh. Yeah. 1 minute. It's a contradictory argument. In this case, the victim is seeking a death sentence. How do you get around that?
Firstly, let me tell you, let us keep politics aside.
Okay.
How can you? I am not interested. I made an appeal for pardon if it has nothing to do with politics. Mr. Abhishek Singhvi is wrong when he says that the president has rejected the mercy petition once, so a second petition is barred.
He didn't say that.
It implies that.
But he didn't say that.
Let me complete. If you permit me to complete, I will complete. That. He said that president has rejected the mercy petition, that is the end of the matter. He is totally wrong. A second petition is permissible.
Yeah.
And the president exercises executive power, mind you, not judicial power. So he can change his mind. Earlier, having rejected, later on he can pardon. Then Mr. Lekhi is also wrong when he says that the judgment is final. No, please read Keher Singh's case, which says that president can disagree with the findings and conclude. Mm-hmm. Either you say, I don't agree with the constitution bench.
Yeah.
You are entitled to say anything you like. But there's a 5-judge bench judgment in Keher Singh's case, which says
okay,
that
but
president
in this
can
case, why do you
finding.
Want pardon for Bhullar? I haven't understood that.
Three reasons. I just told you, I'm going to repeat.
Yeah.
Firstly, Justice MB, it was a
yes, he dissented.
Not only dissented, he gave reasons which I'm giving.
Yeah.
Firstly, the only evidence is confession, and that to the investigating officer. Secondly, there is no corroboration. Normally in confession, you know how confessions are obtained by police. There was no corroboration. Thirdly, in the case of conspiracy, the law is well settled that if three people are charged for conspiracy and two are acquitted, third cannot be convicted because the man cannot conspire with himself. That is all this has been said.
But
by
here's the point, Naresh Gujral, the same could be said and was said by Jammu and Kashmir politicians about Afzal Guru. And what's being pointed out here, and Meghnath is making that point also, that it's all about political concerns about their own backyard. What are you worried about in Punjab, Naresh? What are you worried about?
I think
in Punjab?
First of all, let's not use this word politics so cynically.
Yeah. Okay.
Why has the president been given these powers? Why did the makers of our constitution give these powers to the president?
Fair enough. That
he could use these powers in the larger interest of the public, or rather public welfare.
Yeah.
Now, if the president feels that yes, this kind of a thing would lead to mass scale violence and would not serve the public interest, he has a right to review it, just as we have a right to appeal. So
Meghnath,
if my party is appealing, there is nothing wrong with
that. Legitimate?
I mean, all the arguments today tell me that many distinguished lawyers do not think Supreme Court is competent to judge cases.
No, they are saying there is impact beyond.
Everybody has said the minority judgment is right, majority is wrong. Somebody says we should have Why have a Supreme Court?
We never claim to be informed.
Here's a very important answer to your question. We had Supreme Court, retired judges of the Supreme Court actually writing to the president, admitting that in 13 cases they sought commutation because they may have made a mistake in those sentences. Now, I want this panel to hold on just a minute. One minute. I have sitting next to me Jameel Ahmed. Jameel Ahmed is the brother of Shakil Ahmed. Shakil Ahmed was a police officer who was killed by Veerappan and his aides. Now, those people convicted and are on death row are also seeking mercy. That mercy petition has been rejected by President Pranab Mukherjee. You're a professor, sir. Your brother had cleared the IAS, but he still chose to be a police officer. He devoted his life to getting Veerappan. He often fought in the jungles without night vision goggles, without ammunition, without guns.
Yes.
When you see a judgment like this, but you see so much debate after it, what would you want to say about the memory of your 33-year-old brother who was killed, and those people now may be hanged, they may not be hanged, we don't know what's going to happen.
I hope all of them are hanged one day, because you know, Veerappan and his associates' barbarity is unparalleled in the history of Indian government, Indian polity, because you know, it is that particular incident, that is Pala landmine blast, in which 22 policemen were killed, epitomizes Veerappan's extreme barbarity and cruelty.
Your brother was 33, right?
Yeah, of course. But then the point I'm trying to make is that nothing short of death sentence, because death penalty alone combines the twin advantage of deterrence and retribution. Retribution for the victims and their families who have been cooling their heels for 20 years. I'm really terribly upset when people begin to talk of the agony caused to the the death convicts on death row because of the delay. But you know, why don't they talk of the agony caused to the victims' families?
No, you know, thank God Assembly, passed a resolution.
1 minute, sir. I want to ask you something. Yes. You said that the delay is as agonizing for those who are the victims at the receiving hands of the perpetrators. Some people say a better solution may be to keep people who have been convicted in jail for the rest of their lives. Suppose that happened here.
No, I don't agree with that, because I have already said that death penalty is the ultimate penalty. Number two, talking about the delays as a ground for commutation, which is utterly baseless, because the delay is double whammy for the victims and their families. Why are you worried about the agony of the perpetrators of such heinous crimes?
Anand Grover, take that. Before I take a break.
I sympathize with the...
His point is very important. No, why are we talking about the agony?
But that's a valid ground under the law as it has been held by the Supreme Court. Delay is one of the ground after the mercy petition.
But he's saying that delay is agonizing for someone like him.
Yes, but that's a valid ground for a person to litigate in the court and say if there's delay of more than 2 years originally, then the law is not fixed as to how many years. It is to be decided from case to case. In this case, it's about 6 years. And if it is attributable to the person who's hanged in the gallows,
who is responsible for the
It's natural.
Slain police officials.
Absolutely. Let me
responsible
just,
for this.
Just respond only in one. Right. You see, the problem with death penalty is it's easier in a particular case like this. But there are so many cases where innocent people have been sent to the gallows. Not only here, but in the US they found, and it's still an open debate. And now in our country, as you said, 13 judges have written in saying these cases are doubtful. Are we going to send innocent people to jail? That's the issue.
Well, since we are not sending guilty.
You feel justice is being denied.
Yes, of course.
Okay, Meghnath, what are you saying? You're saying that in the process of trying to protect innocent people, you're not punishing the guilty either.
I think if you have a death penalty, implement it and do not delay, because delay causes confusion, politicization, and debate. I think just do it. Trust your courts to have come to the right judgment. Retired judges may have second thoughts, but before they have second thoughts, let's implement the decisions.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, is the capital punishment debate politicized? And also, as the world moves towards the abolition of the death sentence, why is India, is India's model of rarest of rare working? Or are we in a year of executions? Are we suddenly a bloodthirsty nation? Coming back for final comments from the panel. After the break. The people, why is it a season of executions? Is the way to decide who should be hanged and who should be granted mercy determined either by personal ideologies of judges and presidents or by politics and regional politics at that? Before we return to our panel, let's take some questions from the audience.
My question to the panel regarding the Buller judgment is he went through three courts. lower court, the high court, Supreme Court, and then finally the president, this thing. My question is that if there were loopholes, why wasn't all these things pointed out at that time? Why right now?
Naresh, you want to take that quickly?
Well, I'm not a legal person, but obviously I'm not questioning the judgment at all. I accept what the Supreme Court has said.
Yeah.
But it has raised certain doubts in the minds of a large section of people. And I think that should be given some kind of consideration.
Okay, question here?
Yeah, my question to the panelists is that isn't the long delay caused by the President's Secretariat shows lack of concern and seriousness towards the matter? There should be a fast-track procedure for the same.
Okay, I'm going to take one more question here.
We all know that President Pranab Mukherjee has rejected many more mercy petitions than any other president.
I just checked. Shankar Dayal Sharma rejected more, but President Pranab Mukherjee has rejected in a short time span the maximum.
In nine months of his term, he's rejected, I think, nine or more petitions. But is capital punishment really a deterrent to terror attacks in India?
Abhishek, why don't you take that and then Justice Kaju, I'll come to you, Mr. Jugender Singh. The personality of the president, you have President Kalam, who sat on many petitions and convicted Dhananjay Chatterjee, sent him to the gallows. You had President Pratibha Patil, who actually contentiously pardoned many people, 30.
Barkhar, two things.
And now Pranab Mukherjee, who seems very decisive on execution.
Let's start with one thing. I think it is time now for a statute or even a constitutional amendment to stop all these debates as far as one point is concerned.
Which is?
A 3, 6 or 9 month time limit for the decision.
Yeah.
You know, we can keep on saying case to case, you'll decide this, you'll decide that. Let's have a statute for this.
Okay.
It's really time we did that, and then nobody can, you know, you have a uniform benchmark.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, whether it's 1 year or 6 months, doesn't matter, there should be a uniform benchmark.
Agreed.
Secondly, it's an open secret, and you haven't mentioned the open secret name.
Which is?
The name starts well before Dr. Sharma or Pratibha Patil, and that is Dr. K.R. Narayanan. He had a very stated, very bona fide, very avowed...
He was anti-capital punishment.
He said, over my dead body.
Yeah.
There's no question of any death penalty. So, it is a view at that time. But the third point that, you know, this is a hanging president, this is a not hanging president, is not quite correct.
But it's true, by what you just said, it's true.
No, I'm saying, there are exceptions. But the point is that once death penalty stands, if you are President Pranab Mukherjee, you have a death penalty as a constitutionally valid remedy here, and you have rejected, according to your own understanding, a mercy petition, then what happens? You have to hang the person. There's no other way.
But
this doesn't mean that you don't have other cases. There'll be lots of other cases where President Pranab Mukherjee may reject a mercy petition.
Taking the point, Anand, and Aman, let me take this to both of you, and then Justice Kaju, you can come in, that actually, why is it the personality of the president, he or she is actually acting on the recommendations of the Home Ministry? That's the point Jugender Singh is making, Anand.
It's both.
Yeah.
He rightly said that, over my dead body, a particular president said. So they know that a particular president will not. So the councils of ministers' advice is very important. So that's very important now that so many hangings are actually going to take place. It's a political decision.
So you think
decision.
It's a political decision, not the president's decision?
The elections are coming next year. Let's not be very... The other party which is demanding capital punishment. But I think we'll realize our folly in the next 5 years, when people will realize that this doesn't work.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I want to just one an additional okay. one additional point.
Yeah.
There's a very good report by Amnesty International in India, how the judgments of the courts on death penalty have been arbitrary. It depends on which the lawyer is, which the judge is, and how you...
Abhishek,
one sentence.
Yeah, one sentence.
Yes.
Let's define this very dangerous
so it can't
phrase,
go on like
political
this.
Decision. At one level, it suggests that presidents decide according to the political color of the government. No, that's not so. Political decision, yes, in the sense of philosophical decision. But it is not a political decision in as much as different governments take completely arbitrary
views. There's somebody who actually had a question on the election.
There has to be a broad consistency.
Okay, 1 minute. There's somebody who echoes the cynicism that we're hearing from Anand. Yes.
My question is relating to the 8-year delay as far as Afzal Guru's hanging was concerned. Why is it that it's just come in now when the BJP has accused the Congress of a host of things, including national security and crime, and suddenly you decide to hang him? There's an 8-year gap, and this is both Kasabs and Afzal Guru's.
So you're wondering why the government has got so proactive. I'll take that to Abhishek, in just a second, a question.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that, I mean, we've become so typecast. If it's terrorism, we are going to, it's going to be capital punishment, which should not be the case. I mean, look at
why not?
Because look at El Megrahi. I mean, he was responsible for the Pan Am disaster. He was punished for the maximum punishment.
But what would you say to Jameel Ahmed, whose brother was slain by Veerappan? I mean, it's easy for us to say this. What would you say to him?
But is death penalty the actual justice? Is it the only justice?
That's the moot point. Yes,
I would say here, there has to be some deterrence. Even the high courts have said here, without deterrence, you can't regulate your society. How much?
Justice Karjo, why did you decide to give death sentences for honor killings?
You must understand, India is passing through a transitional historical stage in our history.
Yeah.
From feudal society to modern society.
Yeah.
We have to crush feudal barbaric practices like honor killing. There should be no mercy for honor
Absolutely
killing. This is
right.
a feudal, we have to help our society move forward. So in honor killing, dowry death, petrol is poured on a young married
yeah.
girl, and because she can't get dowry.
So
and
that means you
fire.
Do think that death can be a deterrent?
Yes, absolutely.
You do think dowry, let's see the actual
here.
Evidence.
No, for the
has
reason,
it stopped? Has it stopped?
For the very reason, Justice Karjo defended the death penalty for honor killing, I think for terrorism, the same reason would apply as much.
So does it work?
National security. One is the question of social norms, the other is the question of political stability.
Okay, before I take final comments, let me take.
Does leniency work?
There's no question of leniency.
Good question.
There's no question of leniency.
Yeah.
You have alternatives. Those alternatives are going to be used. They must be used. But let me answer that question more fully.
Well, she has a related question.
What other alternatives do we have?
There is life imprisonment. There is full life imprisonment. No, why can't it work?
Life imprisonment.
Also,
1 minute, sir.
Yes.
Life imprisonment. You have people living in the jails. You have people on life imprisonment in the jails. All you land up doing is giving them nutritious food.
No, they don't. Please.
Why death?
Okay, are you going to solve terrorism by deterrence? Has it worked in the last 10 years?
Of course it has.
Okay, 1 minute. 1 minute.
What to do with
1 minute. 1 minute. 1 minute. 1 minute.
What is the political
solution? So, what is the alternative is an important question. Meghnad, from everything you're hearing, I'm going to take one more question here, but a quick comment.
Yeah, I think it's very simple. If India wants to have death penalty, people believe death penalty is a deterrence, and I think at that stage, we should take that penalty seriously and implement it.
Okay, question here.
As a Sikh, listen to your comments, we can put this to the rest. At the same time, in another case, in this week only, there are evidence, the victims are shouting that justice must be given to us. In case of Sonia Gandhi, you are saying she is a victim, she has a right.
You're talking about 84.
84. Of course, so much the Congress may like that 84 should be put aside.
Okay, Abhishek Singhvi, here's the question. Jagdish Taitla says, if the charges are framed, I'll quit my party post. I'm innocent. Sajjan Kumar, you have a sense of an open wound there. So the question being asked
and
here is,
and
here too the victims are shouting.
Let's
what go. About 84?
It's a large question, so I hope you'll give at least 1.5 minutes.
Okay.
There is, let me be very clear, there is no question of 84 being put aside. Please notice the difference. Please notice the stand. This is a party and a government whose prime minister has publicly apologized.
25 years later.
What does that mean?
Just apology? Let's complete. Number two, the Congress president has apologized. Number three.
25 years later.
Number three, prosecutions. Well, even after many years, in some cases, there has been no apology, no contrition at all.
Yeah.
So let's not talk about when. Third, prosecutions have occurred from the top. There have a lot of political
heads
of role.
People
have lost their political careers. Mr. Taitler has ceased to be a minister in this ground.
But he's a CWC member.
Today, nobody is covering up for Mr. Taitler.
Yeah.
He is facing a opening of a case after the case having been closed in a closure report, not only of the CBI, but of the Sessions Court. I'm not saying he's right. I'm not saying he's wrong. He's entitled to a fair crack of the whip, which he's going to get in a court of law. But till today, HKL, Bhagat, Sajjan Kumar, large political careers have ended. There are people who publicly acknowledge that everything should be done. In other cases, I don't want to take names, there are political
debate,
nothing of sort has happened.
Okay, I want to hear from the other side. We heard from
But I just want to add one thing.
Yeah, Naresh Kutli.
When this closure report was filed, against the advice of the deputy by the director,
yeah,
He had no reasons to file a closure report. Thereafter, he is rewarded and made a governor.
We need a separate show on 1984. I think we can't make it part of
two courts. Gujarat, 1984, Bombay riots, all of them. All of them are double speak. Let me be very clear.
Okay, now I want to hear from. We've heard from Jameel, who speaks about his brother and says, "What about my justice?" Now here I have Shatrughan Chauhan and his brother, actually. Ramji was convicted and found guilty of killing 5 people, including 3 children. He is on death row, but his was one of the petitions that actually there is a mercy petition. It's been stayed by the Supreme Court. It's awaiting final judgment. आपसे पूछना चाहूँगी शत्रुघ्न जी, आपके भाई जो हैं, उन्होंने कोर्ट के मुताबिक वो गिल्टी पाए गए कि 5 लोग उन्होंने मारे, उनमें 3 बच्चे भी थे. ये पर्सनल कोई प्रॉपर्टी डिस्प्यूट था. अब यहाँ पर जो लोग हैं वो तो यही कहेंगे कि जैसे कि जो उन्होंने किया बच्चों को मारना, तो उनको किसी तरह की मर्सी क्यों मिलनी चाहिए?
अब इसमें हकीकत तो मैम ये है कि हम लोग छोटे थे, पिता की छाया भी हम लोग के सर पर नहीं था, और भाई हमारे जिसको फांसी की सजा हुई सबसे बड़े थे उस समय, हम लोग छोटे, आज से 17-18 साल पहले की कहानी, 6-10-96 की, और जिस कंडीशन में पुलिस घर से उनके उठा करके लेके गई, उसके 10 दिन पहले उनके पैर का प्लास्टर कट रहा है, जिसका मेडिकल सर्टिफिकेट वगैरह सब कुछ था. हम लोग अशिक्षित व गरीब होने के कारण जो कि सही तरीके से पैर भी नहीं कर पाए, और हमारे वकील ने ही पैसा खाकर लोअर कोर्ट में ही हमारे केस को फ्लॉप कर दिया, और उसी फैसले को लेकर हम लोग हाई कोर्ट भागे हुए गए कि भाई
तो आप कह रहे हैं कि आपके पास पैसे नहीं थे कि आप ठीक तरह का वकील
जी इसी कारण बस हम लोग हाई कोर्ट किसी तरीके से पहुंचे, और वहां पहुंचने के बाद हम लोग जो है कि फांसी के मुकदमे को देखने लगे. उसी मुकदमे से संदर्भित जो है 25 आर्म्स एक्ट का मुकदमा, जो हथियार बरामदगी दिखाया गया, वो मुकदमा आज तक हाई कोर्ट में पेंडिंग है, और सुप्रीम कोर्ट और राष्ट्रपति तक फांसी की
तैयारी. और 13 साल से आपकी मर्सी, 13 इयर्स द मर्सी पिटीशन हैज बीन पेंडिंग. एक आखिरी सवाल आपसे, लेकिन जो बच्चे मारे गए
जी,
कुछ तो सजा होनी चाहिए ना आपके भाई के साथ?
सजा जो होनी थी, यदि रियलिटी ये देखा जाए, इसकी सीबीआई जांच हो जाए, तो पूरी जो भी सजा हमको सरकार दे हमें मंजूर है. यदि निर्दोष मेरा भाई है तो उसके लिए जो है कि नहीं, पूरी तरीके से उसका वो न्याय होना चाहिए. हम लोग न्याय के लिए लड़ रहे थे, निर्णय के लिए नहीं, और हमारे साथ न्याय नहीं हुआ है.
One last question.
I have a related question here. We've been talking again and again to keep politics out of this whole judgment that has happened. But when the judgment came in 2002, one of the judges on the bench said that Buller was not guilty.
Yeah, Justice Shah, we've said
one
that.
One more thing. We've discussed that this is not precedent-centric, this is not judge-centric, and this is not, again, politics-centric. It's definitely precedent-centric. We've seen that. And it's not judge-centric. So definitely it means it is politics-centric, and we should stop saying that we should take politics out of this,
because politics is in it. Last question.
Just one thing. If we know that Jagdish Tital and Sajjan Kumar have been one of the primary accused in the 84 riots, can we ever see them being imprisoned? Because in the case of just Buller, who is a common man, the court has been very quick to award him justice and punishment.
Yes, when they are found guilty. No, if they are not found guilty.
Okay.
That's the meaning of rule of law, whether you like it or not.
Okay, fair enough. Quick last word, the issues of class. Meghna, let me take that to you. What this man is saying, and we can't determine guilt or innocence, the court found him guilty, his brother guilty, but often those on death row are the poorest. They are. And this happens in the United States of America, it happens here. Is there a problem with that?
There is a problem.
Yeah.
But that problem is not a problem of death penalty. There's a problem of society where all crimes, very often the poor get more punishment for, you know, for theft and robbery and everything.
Yeah.
So that is a problem of class in a society where the law does not deal equally with all people. But that is not a question of death penalty.
That's okay, I've got a minute left, 30 seconds, Naresh. What are you worried about happening in Punjab?
No, I think this could lead to large-scale violence. And I think that
Why? Is the situation so
because
fragile?
Because people are angry. People feel that even 29 years later, no justice has been done for them.
Aman,
I
quickly.
I think a very dangerous precedent is to add back to an argument of fear. If the argument of fear is going to defeat rule of law, it's actually a very poor state for our country. And if this is the reason for giving him pardon, I personally think that reason should be the reason for giving him death. Because whatever be the consequences, if a wrong has been committed, the wrong necessarily have the sanction of death.
I want to just go to the gentleman. I think there's a lack of confidence in our legal system today, and the poor are taking the brunt brunt of it. It's no point in saying it's class division and it doesn't affect death penalty. It does all over the world, and in our case, it's scheduled cause, poor people, minorities.
Oh, no,
they are paying. I'm sorry.
This is not political data.
If you have a very good lawyer, you won't get death penalty. That's
okay,
very
you're saying is life for the rest of life.
I will only say here, whatever you decide,
decide fast.
Immediately. That's all.
Justice Karju, is life for the rest of life, even though you've awarded death sentences,
see,
a better option?
We are forming a body called the Court of Last Resort. Tomorrow there's a meeting at my residence at 4 p.m. Mr. Fali Nariman is going to be the chairman, because thousands of people are languishing in jail because of the great delay. You know, the courts are overburdened. People are for years and years on jail, and we are going to examine
them. Isn't that anti-judiciary?
No, it is not. It is supplemental to the judiciary, not substitution. Because the judiciary is overburdened, we are going to help the judiciary.
Absolutely.
So that justice is done. There are thousands of people languishing in jail. Many of them may not even be knowing the reasons why are they there for years and years. Courts can't decide because they are overburdened.
Abhishek Singhvi, as a very quick last comment, you said there should be a time frame. We've seen no political party moving such a resolution.
We have on the whole a good system. We have to work it better. Let's all collaborate in working it better. First and foremost, we must have a simple statutory time limit, and I don't think
what
any party
life
will
up to
oppose.
Life?
No.
Somebody
life
from,
up to life
somebody
is,
from
is
Jammu
a very
and
valid
Kashmir,
point. It's a very
somebody
valid
from
point.
Jammu and Kashmir said to me after Afzal Guru was executed, what is more important, to keep harmony in a state? And if that can be achieved by keeping even a terrorist in jail for the rest of his life, why is that not a better option?
Life
I'm
for,
just asking a question. You're disagreeing with me?
Life for life is a good point, Barkha. But the reason given by you is very dangerous.
The reason given
very
is
very dangerous.
Is,
because when you will have a Tamil not hanging to the resolution, Tamil Nadu,
All you have to say
is that if you implement the law, we will riot. Therefore, we won't implement the law.
These are states with tortured histories.
Family will invent a tortured history as to why he became a robber.
We'll leave it there. There is no agreement on this very volatile topic. We would like to see a parliament.
The judicial officers.
Sir,
we need 77,000.
Understaffed, absolutely, but we would like to see our parliament actually conducting a serious debate on capital punishment, not just along ethnic and regional lines. I think that has been the tragedy
and political lines
with capital punishment so far. Thank you very much. I have to end. Thank you very much.